The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. If you want to find that near the back of your Bible, or you can follow along on the screen. Hebrews 1, 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. This is God's word.
Well, welcome again to Life Connection. My name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors. Really grateful that you're with us as we continue to look to the scriptures to see what the scripture teaches about itself. Every area of human life rests upon a foundation of authority somehow, some way. It doesn't matter what we are talking about, there is some final word that we look to, that we are resting upon. So, for instance, like if you have a medical question that comes up, you don't call that acquaintance who has a PhD in history. Like, if you do, you're doing it wrong. No, you call an MD. Like, you're trying to find out from an authority on that issue, on that topic, to help you understand what's happening. Or, like, this weekend, when we're having some furnace issues, great weekend to have furnace issues, just so you know, I didn't call Carson. Carson's very helpful in a lot of ways. He would have empathized with me. He would have cared for me. But he wouldn't have much to offer by way of HVAC diagnostic work. No, I called a couple of guys that I know who are HVAC professionals. Like, because I needed to hear from somebody who had some expertise on that realm, that sphere of my life. Well, the question becomes, where do we turn to find a definitive final word when it comes to understanding who God is, what he's like, and what he desires for our lives? Well, for 2,000 years, the church has said we need to go to the scriptures. Now, the scriptures don't tell us everything that we want to know about every conceivable question we could possibly bring to it. But what the scriptures do is they help us to understand who God is, what he's like, what it looks like to live in relationship with him, and how to relate to one another. It doesn't speak about all things, but on that which it does address, it is the Christ follower's final word. It is our final authority that we might understand who God is and what he's like. But why should we think that the scriptures are authoritative? Like, okay, yes, every realm of life we rest upon some final word. Okay, I can go with you there, but why should we think when it comes to matters about God, how to relate to him, that we should look to the scriptures themselves? Well, I think that's why this passage we're looking at this morning is going to be so helpful for us. It begins to unpack for us what it means to live in light of God's authority. It helps us understand the nature of the authority of the scripture. We've been using, over the last several weeks, this acronym SCAN to help us remember kind of the nature and the attributes, the characteristics of the scripture. The scripture is sufficient. That's what we saw early on. The scripture is clear to us. There's a clarity that we can understand its central message. The scripture is indeed authoritative. That's what we're going to consider this morning. And the next week, we're going to look to the idea that the scripture is necessary. And so what we want to see this morning is a very simple idea. The scripture is God's authoritative word. To put it this way, the Westminster Confession of Faith says this: the supreme judge by which all controversies of religion are to be determined and all decrees of councils, opinions of ancient writers, doctrines of men, and private spirits are to be examined, and in whose sentence we are to rest can be no other but the Holy Spirit speaking in the Scripture. That is, when it comes to understanding matters of God, our relationship to Him and to one another, the final word for the Christ follower is the authoritative word of God. And so in Hebrews chapter 1, we see that Scripture is authoritative because it's God's word. That's what we must understand. Look again at verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become much superior to angels, as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. What we need to understand is that the authority of Scripture is tied to the very person of God. Or we might say it this way, the authority of Scripture is just a shorthand way of saying the authority of God as He speaks through the Scripture. That's why in Hebrews chapter 1, the word that is spoken is tied to God Himself and to the Son. Because what the author of Hebrews needs us to understand is this: the Scriptures are authoritative because God is authoritative. The Scriptures are authoritative because God is the divine author who stands behind them. I think that's why what we see here is that God speaks in many ways, in many different times, but now in these last days, He's spoken by His Son. This is why I think we have all these characteristics about the Son listed here. Because the author of Hebrews wants us to see the great weight of majesty, glory, and authority of the Son. So He's described as being the heir of all things, creator of the world. He's the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of His nature. He sustains, He upholds the universe, how? By the power of His word. And after making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, demonstrating that Jesus is now reigning and ruling as the King of the universe. There is a great weight that we're to see in this passage concerning the Son. And what we must understand is that God has spoken in many different ways and now has spoken by His Son. The Scriptures are authoritative because God stands behind it as their author. We see this powerful portrayal of the significance of Jesus that we might understand the authority that stands behind the Scriptures themselves. See, when we think about any book, a book has authority because of the author. Like, there aren't these words that just exist out here somewhere that somehow are endowed with special powers that make them authoritative. No, we understand this in everyday language, everyday areas of our life. A book has authority because of the author who wrote it. And that's what we're to see here. Like, to understand the Scriptures, we must understand them in relationship to God Himself. We remember from those first couple of weeks that God has spoken in and through and by the human authors. That He has been able to work in such a way to take the personality, the life circumstance, the intellectual abilities, to use all of those things to speak to you and to me by the Word. And so, therefore, the Scriptures are authoritative because God is the author who stands behind them. And so, Timothy Ward puts it this way: the relationship between God and His words seems rather obvious. Thus, we may say God has invested himself in his words. Or we could say that God has so identified himself with his words that whatever someone does to God's words, whether it is to obey or to disobey, they do directly to God himself. The point is this: God is so identified, his words are so identified with his person, that whatever you do with these words, it is rightly to be said, that is how you're relating to God himself. And because God is the author who stands behind the scripture, then there is authority that resides in the word. See, God has spoken to all of humanity through general and special revelation. Here's what we mean. In Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The idea is that the natural world shows us something of God's majesty and his power. It helps us understand something of who God is and what he's like. But it only takes us to a certain degree. No, what we need is something more specific. We need God's special revelation. God hasn't just left us in a fog of mystery to try to figure out who he is and what he's like. Look at nature and see if you can figure it out. That's not what he does. No, he goes a step further and he speaks to us by his word, that we might understand who he is, what he's like, what it looks like to live in relationship to him and with one another. He spoke in a variety of ways, but in these last days, the days in which we live, God has spoken by his Son. And so the Word, it faithfully conveys to us who God is and what he's like. I mean, this is why it's authoritative. God stands behind it as its author. He is unveiling for us who he is and what he's like, and he's doing so faithfully. So while the scripture doesn't speak to every conceivable question you and I might have, it speaks to us very clearly as to who he is, what he's like, and that central message of the Bible that helps us understand how to relate to him. It shows us clearly how to live in relationship to God and to one another. The scripture is God's authoritative word. Why? Because God stands behind it as its author. And so we need to take a few minutes and unpack what it means, what it looks like to think about the authority of scripture for real life. We need to understand the authority of scripture, I think, by on the one hand, recognizing what it's not. What are we not saying when we talk about the authority of Scripture? But then what are we saying? What do we mean when we talk about the authority of Scripture? What the authority of Scripture is not is, it's not that God speaks to every conceivable question you and I have. The heavens declare the glory of God and all of his handiwork, but it doesn't mean that then somehow, some way, it gives us, unveils for us all the mysteries of astrophysics. That's not the point, that it communicates to us about every conceivable question you and I might have. This authority of Scripture is not saying that the Scriptures, all the Scriptures, apply to every individual in every historical circumstance in the same way at every point in time. That's not what it means. Here's an example. The food laws of the Old Testament have far much impact on our lives today than they did on those in the day of Moses. And so we're not saying that the scripture equally applies to every individual in the same way in every cultural circumstance. That's not the point of the authority of scripture. It also doesn't mean that every interpretation of scripture is authoritative. You can get it wrong. I mean, this is why I think in Acts 17 we see the example of the Bereans. Paul unfolds for them from the Old Testament that it all points to and leads to Jesus. And he shares with them the gospel of Christ that they might come to believe in Jesus. And what does it say? That the Bereans went to the Word of God to see if what Paul was saying matched up with it. And so the point is not that any interpretation is authoritative. The point is that the word itself, God as its author standing behind it, the word itself is authoritative. And so what then do we mean when we say that the scriptures are to have authority for our lives today? Well, while it doesn't speak to every conceivable question you and I have, it does have something to say about most things. It does have implications for all the questions that you and I have. It has implications for how we think about our cultural moment. It has implications for how we think about our careers and our vocations. It has implications for how we think about every sphere of life. And while it doesn't apply in the same way to every individual person, what we should understand is that the scripture is indeed relevant for all of us. That it does have something to say to us. It does have something to say about how we relate to God, how we relate to one another, how we think about our cultural moment. It is relevant for our lives. And it's because it's relevant for our lives, it is indeed a life-giving word. That the scriptures help us to understand how to live in light of who God is, how to relate to one another, and because it does that, it's life-giving. It's helping me understand how to live in light of reality. And so then the invitation for everyone who would follow Jesus is to embrace the authority of Scripture, this life-giving authority of Scripture. We're to embrace it. And I know that that's really difficult in our cultural moment. Like, we are predisposed to be skeptics about all forms of authority. We have been discipled and maybe even indoctrinated to just immediately push up against, to turn our backs on the idea that there is a rightful authority that we're to embrace and to live under. I mean, sometimes that's because of our own sense of self-reliance. Like, that's my problem. Sometimes I just think I know better. It doesn't matter that you've got a medical degree. I watched a documentary. I read a blog. You just wasted thousands of dollars. Like, I think I can figure this out. Like, that's my posture. That's some of our posture, isn't it? Somehow, some way, like, I can rely upon myself, my intellectual abilities, my ability to understand this area of discourse, and I can make sense of it for myself. Some of us, though, I think are skeptical, not because we're kind of self-reliant and maybe prideful, but some of us are skeptical because we've been deeply wounded. So, some of us have been so wounded by people who are supposed to care for us, who are supposed to be rightful authorities over us, who are supposed to lead us in a life-giving way. Because of those wounds, because of that hurt, because of that betrayal, it makes it really difficult for us to think about following the leadership of others, sitting under any kind of authority, human or divine. For some of us, we've been wounded by parents, by caregivers, by a teacher, by someone who was supposed to have responsibility over, but betrayed that trust of stewardship in such a way that it makes it extremely difficult to think about the idea of trusting the leadership of others. And sometimes that's even happened within the church. I mean, we have news of another world-renowned leader who has spent decades preying upon women, taking advantage of, using their place, their prominence in such a way to gain sexual gratification and to use and exploit others for their own desires. That's this week. And so I know there are all kinds of reasons that we struggle to embrace the idea of God's life-giving authority in Scripture. But the thing that I want to have you consider is that God is so radically different than that. Like, here's the reality. God is so radically different from the best leaders you've ever known, and he is so radically different from all those who have betrayed your trust. That he is so radically different in that he never fails, he never gives up on us, he never turns his back on us, he's never oppressive. He never preys upon the vulnerable. And I think that's part of what we're to understand as we think about the Son, as we think about Jesus himself, who is the very imprint of the divine nature. You see, in John chapter 1, we're told that part of what Jesus did when he came was to unveil for us who God is and what he's like. And so the reality is this: if you want to understand who God is he worth following? Can you trust him? Then you need to look no further than to Jesus himself. Look to the life of Jesus. See the way that he interacted with others. See his love and his mercy and his kindness put on display. And then come to the conclusion, is that the kind of God whom I can trust with my life? And that's the invitation, is to give yourself over to Jesus, to trust him at his word, to stop relying upon ourselves, living pridefully before him, and instead to embrace him by faith, to trust him at his word, that his word is indeed life-giving for us. The scripture is God's authoritative word. And so then how do we live in light of God's life-giving authoritative word? Like, if you're a follower of Jesus, what's it going to look like to live in light of that life-giving authoritative word? Just three simple ideas. I think first, we have to start at home, and we need to consider our own hearts. Like, is there a woundedness in you that you need to find help with? Like, what would keep you from, one, turning to the Lord and asking him to bring healing, to help you? Like, he's big enough to hear your struggle. He's big enough to, and empathizes in such a way that he can hear your skepticism. That's okay. What if you turn to the Lord and ask him to help you to trust him, help you to learn to trust him? Maybe you need to invite a trusted friend into that so that you can find people who can help you walk through the woundedness that you've experienced in this life, so you might come to the place of experiencing God's life-giving word. But for some of us who are self-reliant, you have to understand this. Your attitude toward human leaders, human authority, is a great indicator of your attitude toward God himself. This is seen all throughout the scriptures. I mean, just one case in point. When the people of Israel come to Moses and they demand that they be given a king like all the other nations. What does God say? They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. You see, our attitude and our disposition towards leaders, towards those in authority on the human level, that gives us an indication of our heart toward God himself. I mean, this is why it matters for parents to help their children learn to live under their loving leadership, to learn to live under the authority of human leaders. Why? Because it's the training ground for helping them understand how to relate to God in his greater life-giving authoritative leadership. And so while it might be comical that your 5-year-old, your 7-year-old, your 8-year-old does absolutely nothing anyone asks them to do, it might be comical, but they become 18, and 20 and 42. And then it has devastating effects. And so we have to be the kinds of people who are helping not only live under God's leading and authority in our own lives, but we're helping to cultivate that in the next generation so they might come to learn to love God's leadership. This is why it matters so greatly for us to see aspiring leaders who are okay serving behind the scenes where no one's going to see. Like that they're able to live under the leadership of others. It's very worrisome when an aspiring leader only wants to be on the platform, only wants to be in the spot where they're going to be seen. These things matter in really practical ways. And so when we start to see people who are just serving faithfully behind the scenes in ways that nobody even knows about, like that is good and right and true. And it shows something of the greatness of God in our lives. And so we need to consider our heart, and we need to do that as we walk in community, because here's the reality for you and me: my self-reliance is often deceptive and I can't see it. I need help. I need people who can help me see that in this season of life, you look really proud and you're living very self-reliantly. And it's going to ultimately be your downfall. I need to have friends who care enough about me to say those words, and so do you. But not only do we need that kind of friendship so that we can find correction when we need it, but we so easily forget the great promises of God to us, that we need friends in our lives who can help us walk in community so that we might see God's greatness and kindness toward us, that we would be able to have reminders that in Christ you are forgiven. In Christ you are redeemed. In Christ you are loved. In Christ you are valued. In Christ you are chosen. And if Christ is in you, then he is going to work in such a way to grow you up in maturity. We need people who can help us remember those things because it's easy to forget. And this cultural moment makes it all the more difficult because so many of us have been living in varied levels of isolation. We've been listening to the lies of the enemy all on our own. And we need people who can help remind us of what's real and what's true. And as we walk together then in community, being that kind of friend to one another, we're able to display something of the beauty of Christ. Every one of us, no matter what you think about spiritual things, every one of us has some rock bottom authority that we rest our lives on. And what we have to understand is apart from the Lord, all of those things ultimately become destructive and maybe even oppressive. But God is life-giving. His leadership in our life, it's life-giving. And so I love the words of Jesus in Matthew 11. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so if we want to see something of the life-changing authority of God's word in our lives, then we need to look no further than Jesus himself. Jesus stepped into our reality to show us his life-giving authority. It's life-giving. He gave up his life for us that we might find life in him. We'd be brought back into the family of God, that we could live under his kind and generous leadership. So in this moment, it's an opportunity for us to consider our hearts. Is there something that you need to repent of? Is there a woundedness that you need to seek help for? How do you need to take steps to walk in community this week? so that you might display something of the beauty and the kindness of our King Jesus. The scripture is God's authoritative word. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word that you have in your kindness spoken to us, that you haven't left us in a fog of mystery to try to figure things out on our own, but instead you have spoken to us. You have spoken to us by your inscripturated word, and you have spoken to us in and through the divine word. So as we look to Jesus in this moment, will we be reminded of your kindness and your grace and your goodness so that we might be able to follow your loving leadership. We ask all of this by Jesus' name. Amen.